There are many people who plan to go to college who choose to take a year between high school and higher education. I spent my gap year working at Pizza Hut. Our first guest today went a little farther in his travels. Eric Olien graduated from Ashland High School last spring, and then not long after got on a plane, or several planes, and landed in Senegal in West Africa. It's okay if you don't know much about it. Neither did he originally. But Eric is back and talking about his time abroad with Global Citizen Year. He's here in the studio with me. Eric, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
And joining us by phone is Abby Falick, who is the Global Citizen Year founder and CEO. Abby, welcome.
Thanks so much. Delighted to be here.
Good to have you both. Eric, first, did you get the homecoming cheeseburger with bacon that you were dreaming about when you were leaving Senegal?
I have to admit, I went for pizza instead, but the cheeseburger was quick to follow.
So that obviously is the end of a long journey, and you're probably still processing a lot of it. What appealed to you about taking a gap year overseas?
You know, it was just the thought of more travel and becoming like a more well-rounded, a more traveled, more experienced person before going off on another big step in my life, and also just taking a pause between two big schooling parts of my life.
Yeah, 13 years from K through 12, and you want to take a little rest there, right?
A little pause.
Abby Falick, this starts with your own experience leaving high school and looking for something. What did you want and what did you find?
Well, I desperately wanted to find something like Global Citizen Year. I grew up in the Bay Area and had gone to a very academic high school and finished feeling exhausted. I knew I was going to college eventually, but I really, really wanted to take a break to do something that would remind me of the why of continuing on with my higher education. I remember calling the Peace Corps on the phone, and the Peace Corps said, go to college, we'll see you in 4 years because you need a college degree to join the Peace Corps. And it struck me then at age 18 that it was really ironic that we send millions of young people into military service when they're 18 years old, or if you're religious, into religious service. But where was the humanitarian civilian opportunity for young people to spend a year learning who they are and what they care about out in the world in that really critical developmental transition between high school and college?
So what were the baby steps to setting up Global Citizen Year? What did you do first, and then how did you make it bigger from there?
Well, as an entrepreneur, I like to say it's been a slow cook. So those were the early seeds when I was 18 and felt frustrated that it didn't yet exist. I ended up taking a year off during college. So I was at Stanford and got antsy from classroom learning and felt like I really was ready to test what I was hearing in the lecture hall in the real world. So I spent a year on my own traveling, living and working in Brazil and in Nicaragua. And I had experiences that just blew my mind and heart open and reignited a sense of motivation for why I was in school and what I wanted to get out of the experience. And when I came back to finish college, suddenly I had a sense of focus and purpose, and I felt like, oh, wait a second, this was what I was looking for before I even landed here. How differently we would all approach our college experience if we'd had a formative global experience before we arrived. So flash forward another decade, I worked in international development, education, just gathering seeds of information to help me understand where the need and opportunity might align for what now has become Global Citizen Year. And just before launching, I ended up in business school. I had only worked in the social sector, and it felt like learning from the business world about how to launch and scale a really high-impact social venture felt like the best thing to do. So launched out of Harvard Business School, won the annual pitch competition, and started raising money to get this off the ground.
So Eric Olien, when you were in your senior year at Ashland High School, I mean, when in that year did you first learn of Global Citizen Year?
I found Global Citizen Year, it was late February, early March. I was just looking around. The thought of a gap year popped into my head, and I just started searching online, and Global Citizen came up. And application later, I was headed to Senegal.
Had you taken the SATs and done all the other things to get ready to move yourself toward college?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was actually 8 for 8 on getting accepted into college. So I had my first choice, and I was already looking at housing and all that. But then something just, the thought of, I think it was the travel bug inside me just kind of got going, and I just couldn't quell it. So I started looking for different gap year programs, and that's how I found Global Citizen Year.
What did your parents say when you said, you know, I'm thinking of doing this instead?
They were totally on board. Yeah, I had the full support of my parents all along. They were really awesome about it. Even when I was, like I said, I was 8 for 8 on getting accepted into college, even my mom was still saying, you should still think about a gap year. And I was like, okay. Yeah.
Here we go. Gap year indeed. How much did you know about Senegal when you first started doing the application for Global Citizen Year?
Not very much. I knew I could probably point to it on a map. I knew it was West Africa and little Gambias inside it, and I knew Dakar was the capital, and that was basically the extent of my knowledge of Senegal.
Eric Olin graduated from Ashland High School last year, spent a year in Senegal with Global Citizen Year. Abby Falick is the founder and CEO of Global Citizen Year. You can join the conversation. Your questions and comments welcome on the Jefferson Exchange. And maybe you have a global or a gap year story to tell us about an exotic place you went to. We'd like to hear it. 800-838-3760 by phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So, Abby, it's Senegal, Ecuador, Brazil, and India. Are those the four places you take people in Global Citizen Year?
That's currently where we have programs, yep. Mm-hmm.
Why those places?
You know, zooming out for us, this mission is really about exposing young Americans to parts of the world that we typically know very little about, but have a very deep vested interest in learning more about. So we choose countries that are relatively safe and secure, places where families are willing to send their kids, places where there's an accessible language that our fellows can learn. Senegal's a little bit of an exception there, but in Brazil, fellows come back speaking fluent Portuguese, in Ecuador, Spanish, in India, they're learning Hindi. And it's in our frame, it's an opportunity for young Americans to live with what we call the global majority, the three-fifths of the world's population, living not in the top fifth or the bottom fifth, but really deeply immersed in understanding what life looks and feels like for the vast majority of people living around the world.
Is there something that the students are expected to do during their year? I mean, some projects they need to complete or something like that? Or is it just a matter of immersion in the culture?
So, and Eric can speak more to his direct experience, but we've designed the year. It maps to a school year, and it starts and ends with a boot camp training that we host in the Bay Area before the fellows then travel to their country posts. And when they're in country, they live with a host family, and they work as what we call an apprentice, where they are supporting a local effort, advancing something in education, health, or the environment. And it's this interplay between structured training and direct immersive experience and learning. For us, the principle here is putting the experience at the heart and scaffolding that with training and education. And that's really a dramatic shift from how we typically approach education. And for us, it's really giving young people an opportunity to unlock the skills and perspectives that they're never going to develop in a classroom context.
So, Eric, what was your apprenticeship about in Senegal?
So I had two apprenticeships. My first one was I taught, I was like a student teacher in a high school in a neighboring village. And then my second apprenticeship is I worked on my family's farm here in the village I lived in.
And so tell us about the whole experience. I mean, when you stepped off the plane in Dakar, let's talk about the weather first. How did that feel?
It was hot. there's always a stereotype that Africa and Senegal is hot. And I can attest that stereotype rings a little truth. It was hot and humid when we first arrived, and that was the first 2 months.
Okay, acclimation to the weather is one thing, but then getting into the culture and getting used to the family and stuff, how long did it take before you felt like you were in a routine and had hit a stride of some kind?
Well, there was many different stepping stones when I finally got to that routine. I adjusted overall very quickly to moving from Ashland, Oregon into a tiny village in Senegal with 50 people. Overall, but the reality is you don't become comfortable. You don't get into routine for several months into it because of the language barrier in place. I didn't know Wolof existed before.
Wolof
Wolof is the language I'm coming home fluent in. And I didn't know that existed before I was signed up for a gap year in Senegal. And so until that point that you can get into the basic forms of communication between you and your host family, you really don't have much of a basic routine that you can do. You know, you have the things you do every day, but there's not a lot of meaning to it until you can get a basic connection with your host family through language.
Your host family sounds big. I mean, I was looking at your stuff online, your blog entries, and as I scrolled down the page of family members, it just kept going and going and going.
Yeah, that's basically it. I had two host parents, mother, father, and then 10 siblings, 16 to 37, and a lot of little host nieces and nephews running around with them, so...
And what was life like on a daily basis? I mean, where did you have you probably shared a bedroom, stuff like that?
Actually, I had a little tiny bedroom to myself. It was just a little bit long, a little bit farther than I can reach in my arm span. And it was just a lot of fun. All day long, it was just, there was always something to do. There was always little kids running around. There was always older kids running around. I had two host brothers who were Mamorn and Tala, who were 18 and 22. And they were a blast to hang out with. And then if they were off busy doing something, I could hang out with my little nieces and nephews who are running around 4 or 5 years old. There was just never a shortage of human interaction, to say the least.
What's the stuff that you took the greatest pride in while you were there?
I would definitely say just the connection with my host family is my greatest pride. Just they're this group of people who live in a home together, and they welcomed me into it without a second thought. And they say Senegal is the country of Taranga, which is the country of hospitality, and that is just the biggest understatement I have ever heard. The Senegalese people as a whole are just the most opening, heartwarming people I have ever could have imagined, and it was definitely the case in my host family.
Abby Falick, I imagine this is a competitive process to do a Global Citizen Year. So how many people apply, how many are chosen, and how are they matched with host families?
So it is a competitive process, and we are scouring the country for the best, brightest, boldest young people coming out of high schools. But we have a need-blind selection process. So while we're looking for resilience, curiosity, motivation, we're actually not looking at a family's financial circumstance. And so we're in a position to provide generous financial aid, need-based financial aid to students who do need it. But we are screening for those seeds of leadership potential. We've decided that the way that we can have the greatest impact on the world over time is if we can identify emerging young leaders from a broad diversity of backgrounds, geographically, economically, racially, and give them all this shared transformative experience of living and working in the world to reorient who they are, what they care about, and how they're going to approach not just college, but leadership over the course of their lives.
Abby Falick is the founder and CEO of Global Citizen Year. Eric Olin is an Ashland High School graduate who spent his year in Senegal and is just back. You can join us on The Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Connie and Eugene, you're up. Welcome to The Exchange.
Good morning. Sounds like a fantastic program. I wish I could have done something like that. One of the reasons I didn't was that some of, or at least one of my scholarships to go to college was tied to my going from high school into college directly. And I wondered in this day and age, obviously that was decades ago, if in this day and age there's any problem with the colleges or the scholarship people in accepting a year or two off and then continuing and supporting the student with the scholarship they might have awarded, say, their senior year in high school.
That's an excellent question. Thanks for that, Connie. Appreciate it. Eric, I'll start with you because you've been through this process lately. Did you have to get some people to hold off on scholarships? Was that part of your picture at all?
Yeah, it definitely was. When I got the word that I was accepted into Global Citizen Year, I was already accepted into University of Montana. And I know this is a fellow per fellow. This is person per person. It's going to be different for everyone. But all I had to do was just I called University of Montana, and the person on the other end of the phone actually was familiar with Global Citizen Year. So it was just 10 minutes later, when I refreshed my email, there was a freshman class of 2018 email waiting for me. So it was super easy for me. But I know for some other students, it's just a little bit different depending on the college they go to, depending on the scholarships they receive. It changes person per person, college per college.
And Abby, you mentioned having to look at the applications need blind, and there are some scholarships for Global Citizen Year, but it can be fairly expensive, it sounds like.
Yeah, and we do what we can to make it accessible to kids who have financial needs. So unlike study abroad or most travel providers, we're actually in a position to ensure that more than half of our fellows are receiving need-based financial aid every year. But I did have a thought. It's great to hear that Eric had such a smooth experience in asking for a deferral. And our experience overall is that increasingly colleges are delighted when students opt to do something meaningful and transformative for this year. So if they're excited about you this year, they're going to be even more excited once you come back having had the kind of experience that Eric's had. And specifically to the question about scholarships, we found that on the whole, scholarships tend to be deferrable as well, again, because it's in the college's interest to get you back for the next year. But one of the added benefits we found is that many of our fellows end up going back to either reapplying to school or going back to the schools that they're originally interested in and receiving additional, whether it's need or merit-based awards based on the new experience that they're now bringing to the freshman class.
Is any college credit actually given for Global Citizen Year?
So nearly half of our fellows get to college and actually are successful in getting some form of credit for the experience that they've had. We have a couple of relationships with schools where we have predetermined a credit arrangement. So we're working with colleges from Tufts to UNC, a broad range of schools from across the country who are interested in everything from joint admissions to shared financial aid to granting course credit for the year of experience. And to us, this is just, we're just at the beginning of a trend where I am convinced that within the decade, you won't get into college until you've done something real and meaningful in the world and can demonstrate clearly to that school exactly how you're going to arrive ready to make the most of the opportunity.
So, Eric, you're ahead of your time.
All righty.
You've been back for what, two weeks now, 3 weeks?
Yeah, I've been back since I got back into... thanks to a couple strikes from Air France a couple days later than originally planned. But, so I've been in – I got to Santa Cruz, I believe, on the 9th of April, and then I was back in Ashland on the 14th of April.
You're still dreaming of Senegal overnight?
A little bit, yeah. I've had a couple dreams in Wolof since I've been back, so.
What's the reentry been like generally? I mean, how different does Ashland look to you after having been away for this long?
It's a lot colder than I remember, and aside from that, it's not a whole lot has changed. I don't really know what I was expecting to change, but it just seems like same stuff, new day kind of deal.
What would you say is the most amazing thing you learned in your year in Senegal?
I would just say that it's so, this comes originally back, going back to my host family, it's just so, the amount or the availability you can make to making a meaningful connection with a group of people. Like when I signed up for Global Citizen Year, the thought of like the host family was kind of just floating around in the back of my head. I never really had like a acute like sense of what that was going to be like, but after my gap year in Senegal, my entire experience was defined by my host family and how amazing they were. So I would think that would be the thing. My big takeaway is just the connection I made with my host family.
Give us some names. Who were your host father and mother?
My host father was Alassane Fall, and my host mother was Apsa Diaw, and they were both in their early 60s, and they were just two great, great people. I can't get enough of them. Couldn't say enough.
The smile on your face tells a lot. Eric Olien just returned from his year in Senegal with Global Citizen Year. Abby Falik is the founder and CEO of Global Citizen Year. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Abby.
Thank you.